This book is entitled, Made Whole Through Our Marriage to God, by Helen M. Wright. Preface. Mary Baker Eddy's work on earth was and is an astounding achievement. In human history, her work for mankind is without parallel. So high, so holy, so far above human comprehension was her discovery of our true identity, that only by small degrees does the human mind catch glimpses of its wondrous glory, like starlight that is long in reaching this world. This book, like all my other books, goes forth to keep the truth of Mrs. Eddy's character before the world, because she has said that, quote, doing this would help the students and do more than all else for the cause, unquote. As Christian Scientists learn to love our leader, Mary Baker Eddy, who showed us how to overcome evil, the Christian Science movement will again prosper. When Dr. Francis Fluno was asked what most deeply impressed him in his day-to-day association with Mrs. Eddy, he replied, quote, outstanding, beyond all else, was the imperious sense of Mrs. Eddy's closeness to God, of her visible, actual awareness of the very presence of Spirit. A source of inspiration beyond words, he said. It was to see this, and to see her constant air of listening to truth, listening always to perceive the purpose and direction of the divine mind in all things. Unquote. Christian Scientists were happy to see Mary Baker Eddy inducted into the National Woman's Hall of Fame in October 1995, but we recall that her divine revelation, like that of Jesus, was first met with the fixedness of mortal illusions and the human hatred of truth. The earthly price of spirituality in a material age, and the great moral distance between Christianity and sensualism, precluded Christian Science from finding favor with the worldly minded. If a woman's greatness can be measured by the opposition it takes to discourage her, then Mary Baker Eddy is the greatest woman ever to tread this earth. Columbus faced starvation and disgrace after discovering America. But sterner still would have been his fate, said Mary Baker Eddy in Science and Health, if his discovery had undermined the favorite inclinations of a sensuous philosophy, and had he proclaimed that the scientific real is the sensuous unreal. People of Mrs. Eddy's time were not ready for the great truth about themselves, were not ready for Mary Baker Eddy, the woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. They were not ready for the second appearing in the flesh of the Christ truth. They were not ready for Mrs. Eddy's great revelation that the Christ historically demonstrated by one man was to be recognized as the Christ potentially demonstrated by all men. Even today, ecclesiasticism has done and is doing everything possible to bury her. As Einstein once said, great spirits have always met with violent opposition from mediocre minds. Mrs. Eddy quickly learned that she could only give people openly what her age had strength to bear, and that the head instructed before the heart is ready can cause great difficulties and sore defeats. She found this painfully true when she taught Richard Kennedy the power of the mind, only to see him use that power for evil. It is only when we seek first the kingdom of God and learn spiritually what is in our textbook that evil cannot be perpetrated with the power of the mind. The bald statement without self-evident explanation is blinding to eyes still struggling to open. Before people can accept the full force of revelation, the human self must be evangelized. Realizing this, Mrs. Eddy wisely decided to hide the full truth of mind's power. As she revised Science and Health, she veiled her divinely inspired revelation so we would find it only as our character becomes more like the God character. In order to have the revelation, We each, like Jesus, must make ourselves the Son of God and discover Christian Science for ourselves in Mary Baker Eddy's writings. Discover and awaken to our present divinity and perfection, and to our unlimited potential here and now. Mrs. Eddy had a second reason for hiding her most profound teachings, namely, to prevent the severe chemicalization occurring in church and society. If she had continued openly, she would have more strongly unified both Catholicism and Protestantism, as well as all other religions and the medical community, against Christian Science, since they all believe that your life started with the fertilization of an egg, rather than that you have always existed from before Abraham was. In Mrs. Eddy's day, no one realized what Jesus meant when he prayed, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory I had with thee before the world was, before this dream of life in matter overtook me." Jesus knew that mortal existence is a dream from the womb to the tomb. Mrs. Eddy's new and bold teaching, direct from infinite good, would make the way rougher for genuine Christian Scientists, so she hid it. She saw that while people of her time could not accept her full message, yet by her example and gentle guidance, she could show them that the good you do and embody gives you the only power obtainable. So effective was this approach that for 70 years, from 1880 to the late 1940s, her students performed the same marvelous healings that Jesus' disciples had wrought nearly 1900 years earlier. And within half a century after her great discovery, the most eminent physical scientists were beginning to see that she was right in her scientific statement of being, found on page 468 of Science and Health. Mrs. Eddy was wise and practical. On page 217 of Miscellany, the question is asked, "If all matter is unreal, why do we deny the existence of disease in the material body and not the body itself?" We deny first the existence of disease because we can meet this negation more readily than we can negate all that the material senses affirm. It is written in Science and Health with key to the Scriptures, quote, "An improved belief is one step out of error and aids in taking the next step and in understanding the situation in Christian Science," unquote. Thus it is that our great exemplar, Jesus of Nazareth, first takes up the subject. He does not require the last step to be taken first. He came to the world not to destroy the law of being, but to fulfill it in righteousness. He restored the diseased body to its normal action, functions, and organization, and in explanation of his deeds he said, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Job said, "In my flesh shall I see God." Neither the Old nor New Testament furnishes reasons or examples for the destruction of the human body, but for its restoration to life and health as the scientific proof of God with us. The power and prerogative of truth are to destroy all disease and to raise the dead, even the self-same Lazarus. The spiritual body, the incorporeal idea, came with the ascension. Jesus demonstrated the divine principle of Christian Science when he presented his material body absolved from death and the grave, unquote. She does not say he presented some ethereal, otherworldly body, but his material body, the body which we have right here, right now, and which is our only body and is solid spirit, true substance. An item of interest in Calvin Fry's diary tells of Mrs. Eddy saying, "My favorite philosopher, Josh Billings, says, 'It won't do to have the harmlessness of a dove till you get the wisdom of a serpent,'" unquote. "In my experience," Mrs. Eddy said, The innocence that thinketh no evil, not having the wisdom that Solomon demands of the wise man to foresee the evil and hide himself, is but the prey and victim of evil. This innocence is self-deceived, and, despite itself, though innocent, deceiveth others. It is the blind leading the blind, which terminates in both landing in the ditch. After writing this, I opened my Bible and looked upon this verse. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Mrs. Eddy's Solomon-like wisdom in foreseeing evil and hiding her great revelation from it is evident in her changes to Science and Health. In her many revisions of that book, even as she refined Christian Science, noting finally, "Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system," she also progressively buried the most profound and deeply spiritual of her teachings, so that only students who were divinely ready would find them. Nearing the end of her sojourn with us, she said to Laura Sargent, "There, Laura, I have hidden it, and hidden it, and hidden it. If I hide it any more, they will never find it," unquote. What a loss that would have been. Mary Baker Eddy wrote as she was God-inspired to do, leaving the ages to grow up to it. Today we near the 7,000th period of biblical history. Material history is drawing to a close. As the spiritual status urges its highest demands on mortals, the world hungers for a change of consciousness. As these immortal cravings activate thought to lead us onward and upward to oneness with the infinite good we call God, it is this author's hope that we will find we now have grown up to accept our present spiritual perfection so forcefully brought out in our leader's first edition of Science and Health. We have much to learn by going back to study that book. Readers familiar with the Mary Baker Eddy God's Great Scientist series will recall how each volume focuses on a separate chapter of the first edition of Science and Health. In the book you have before you, the author uses the first edition's Chapter 6, Marriage, as the springboard for examining Mrs. Eddy's teaching concerning marriage, or how we make ourselves the Son of God, as Jesus did. We will look at statements from this chapter 6, and then expand our view to look at pertinent statements from other chapters in the first edition, especially chapters 1 to 5. We will also draw from later editions of Science and Health, and from other writings and teachings of Mary Baker Eddy, especially those collected in what are called the Red and Blue Books. These contain the material preserved by the Carpenters, and published by Richard Oakes, including many unpublished items, quotes, and other gems given us by our leader. There is nothing original in this book. The author, as in previous books, ascribes to Mary Baker Eddy's writings all the truths herein stated, truths that wed you to the infinite good we call God. Because what Mrs. Eddy has written on the subjects of marriage, sex, and progeny is still so far in advance of general thought, the author of this book will largely confine what is said on these subjects to what Mary Baker Eddy herself has said or written. Armed with her spiritual revelations, which were dictated by infinite good, we will rise heavenward faster than a homesick angel. This book goes to you with the hope that it will answer questions that may have been puzzling you. It attempts to pull back the veil, to show you your present divinity, and to help all attain the God character, the mind that is love, so that this mind can then reveal to you all that Mary Baker Eddy was forced to hide a century ago. During my many years of study of our leader's writings, a new and deeper understanding of Christian Science has unfolded for me. It is this enlightenment which I wish to pass on, with the hope that these explanations will gain for the spiritually hungry a better understanding of their own real mind's power as they find themselves whole through wedding themselves to the infinite good we call God. Chapter 1. The Journey Before Us. The Path to Wholeness. We are starting out on a great and glorious, God-inspired, God-led adventure into the land of our marriage to the infinite good we call God. Into the land of Christian Science, the ultimate revelation concerning what we already are in reality, but are unaware of. Quote, with sandals on and staff in hand, waiting for the watchword and the revelation of what, how, whither, let us be faithful and obedient, and God will do the rest. Unquote. Repeatedly, throughout her writings, Mrs. Eddy uses words that make reference to the concept of marriage. She writes of the wife of the Lamb, of a bridal betokened from above. She defines bride and bridegroom metaphysically in terms of purity and understanding, and speaks of love wedded to its own spiritual idea. If we follow up these references, we soon discover that outside the Science and Health chapter on marriage, an article specifically about the human institution of marriage, she is always talking about the divine marriage, our wedding to truth, our oneness with mind. It is clear that this is the real thing, the real marriage, while the human marriage contract is but a temporary expedient. As we mature into our true estate, as we grow in understanding to where we can fully claim our oneness with principle and its manifestation, the artificially structured union is destined to fall away. Our divine excursion in this book will take us into the spiritual land pioneered by Mary Baker Eddy as she fulfilled scriptural prophecy in bringing the second coming of the Christ. Mrs. Eddy's message reveals humanity's divinity, your divinity. Her book, Science and Health, is a magic carpet on which we are wafted to a world we cannot enter in any other way than by studying thoroughly the letter and imbibing the spirit. Why must we study Science and Health? Because through it, we learn the truth that Jesus said would make us free. As we study thoroughly the letter and imbibe the spirit of Science and Health, we lay hold of the little comprehended truth of our present God-being. We learn that our real mind, our divine mind, is all. There are no excess words in Science and Health. Truth is as tightly packed into every sentence as a Porsche engine under its hood. No wonder it is changing the entire world's thinking. The Bible promises, I will overturn it, until we actually realize what we divinely already are. It is Mary Baker Eddy's writing in her little book that does the overturning and makes love visible as we practice what we read. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy has many references to practice. We learn by doing. Our highest goal is not reached by following the line of least resistance. It's gained by journeying uphill all the way. We become like that on which our hearts are set. If we wish to become one with infinite good, we must practice and apply the rules at every opportunity. Only knowledge that is used sticks in our mind and becomes habit. Foremost is saying no to error. We need to turn from error and fix our minds on the goal of goodness, just as in working out a mathematical problem, we turn away from everything except the principle of math. Only thus is the right solution earned and won. Obstacles, Hannah Moore said, are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off the goal. As we go forth, let us keep the high goal of goodness always before us. Spiritual ideas unfold as we advance. Our divine odyssey will take us deep into Mary Baker Eddy's first edition of Science and Health and into the private instruction she gave only to her most trusted students, instruction for which the world in general was not ready a century ago. The music is nothing if the audience is deaf. In the 130 years since Mrs. Eddy's discovery, it is our hope humanity has somewhat acquired the wisdom necessary to understand this practical Christian science that is the divine mind, your real mind, the incorporeal truth and love, shining through the mists of materiality and melting away the shadows called sin, disease, and death. Advancing on our spiritual journey into the science of being, we will discover that the I which is God is the I which is man. There is only one, since your own real mind is one with what it shadows forth. We will find we are indissolubly wedded to the infinite good we call God as we discover it to be our own real mind. When we realize our oneness with love and stay with it, the erroneous belief that man is separate from God fades out, and our divine mind unfolds itself as itself to itself. Someone has said, "It is good to have an end to journey toward, but it is the journey that matters in the end." The journey out of our ignorance of God and into oneness with love is all within our own mind. The answer is already within ourselves, since we are alone with our own being and with the reality of things. The greatest need mankind has is awareness of truth. If only each one knew the truth he is in reality, it would set him free. On our safari, we will learn more of the truth which divine revelation poured into Mrs. Eddy's waiting consciousness in her scriptural fulfillment of the second coming of the Christ, the truth concerning you, concerning what you really are. Who are we really? Quote, "Is man's spiritual sonship a personal gift to man, or is it the reality of his being in divine science? Man's knowledge of this grand verity gives him power to demonstrate his divine principle, the principle that he is, which in turn is requisite in order to understand his sonship or unity, marriage with God, good. When we understand man's true birthright, that he is born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God, we shall understand that man is the offspring of spirit and not of the flesh. Recognize him through spiritual and not material laws, and regard him as spiritual and not material. His sonship is not then a personal gift, but is the order of divine science. Mortals will lose their sense of mortality in the proportion that they gain the sense of man's spiritual pre-existence as God's child, as the offspring of good, and not of God's opposite, evil, or fallen man." Unquote. For this age, Mrs. Eddy taught that truth has taken form as a universal science, rather than as a personal savior. The Christ, historically demonstrated by one man, is to be recognized as the Christ potentially demonstrable by all men, as we learn that our own real mind is God. The Christ was Jesus' spiritual selfhood. It is also your spiritual selfhood. Quote, "Truth defiant of error or matter is science, dispelling a false sense and leading man into the true sense of selfhood and godhood, wherein true manhood and womanhood go forth in the radiance of eternal being and its perfections, unchanged and unchangeable." Unquote. In Mrs. Eddy's holy teaching, we find plainly set forth our marriage to the infinite good we call God. The road we travel may be long, but at the end lies the holy grail of understanding. Understanding of our present divinity, our present godhood, namely, that our own real mind is God. On this road, we don't make mistakes, we just have learnings. We lose our fear of being wrong. The time for thinkers has come. Ignorance of God is no longer the stepping stone to faith. We venture forth knowing we possess sovereign power to think, because in reality we have the mind of God. Why does Mrs. Eddy say the time for thinkers has come? Why does she have 126 references to learn, learned, and learning? Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth." But how can you know it unless you first learn it? The science of mathematics is true, but before you went to school, did you know that 2 times 2 equaled 4? No, you had to learn it. We will find it is the same thing with learning our God being. The nature of mind is to know, and the time for thinkers has come. Without thinking, we do not reach knowing. Yes, mind knows all, that's true, and that mind is your mind. But all understanding is not consciously known to you. You consciously know only as much of understanding as has consciously unfolded to you. Jesus, Mrs. Eddy said, unfolded God to man. He unfolded the remedy for Adam or error. Through thinking, the activity of your real mind, your mind will forever unfold itself as intelligence. Spiritual ideas unfold as we advance. They unfold the unity and reality of good. We see this unfolding in Science and Health. In the current edition, Chapter 1, Prayer, leads to Chapter 2, and the praying for the at-one-ment of humanity with divinity, which in turn leads to Chapter 3, Marriage, where we find that what God has joined together is the true human with the divine. The more I understand true humanhood, the more I see it to be sinless, as ignorant of sin as is the perfect maker. Unquote. The Footsteps of the Pioneer. A paragraph in the May 1906 Christian Science Journal, also republished in the foreword to Miss Lenny, reads, "Strive it ever so hard, the First Church of Christ Scientist can never do for its leader what its leader has done for this church, alias the structure of truth and love in our consciousness. But its members can so protect their own thoughts that they are not unwittingly made to deprive their leader of her rightful place as the revelator to this age, and every age to come, of the immortal truths testified to by Jesus and the prophets." Unquote. Mrs. Eddy's sojourn here, a life of healing that spanned almost 90 years, opened a new territory to us. In the preface to the current edition of Science and Health, she tells us, "Future ages must declare what the pioneer has accomplished." Mrs. Eddy was indeed a pioneer, mapping out the road of our marriage to God, our oneness with divine love. Light years ahead of us, though she was, in order to show us how to become aware of our oneness with infinite good, she had to come down to where we were in our ignorance and lead the way, step by step. That Mary Baker Eddy did this for us should make any half-serious Christian Scientist jump to the ceiling for joy and gratitude. Mrs. Eddy knew from personal experience what slavery means. Quote, "A material body bound in the chains of chronic illness under the lash of pain," unquote. Out of such bondage came her great discovery that error, of any kind, is unreal. The impact of the trials she endured sundered the ties of the flesh. She found herself alone in the wilderness of suffering. There, as her thought was united to God, and love alone supported her struggling heart, she saw error's total unreality and God's allness. Mrs. Eddy discovered that the sick need only awaken from the dream of life in matter, of pain and disease in matter, yea, of sensation in matter, that you call personal sense, to realize themselves well. She saw that sickness and every discord is a belief, illusion. It is not from truth, God, or spirit. Neither is it from matter. Matter cannot suffer, can it? Sickness is the suffering of mind, small m, mind. Error, false belief, not truth, produces all the suffering on earth. Suffering is caused by belief, though it seems very real, even as the images of dreams seem substance and real. To acquire the spiritual understanding of your true God identity requires much progress from sense to soul. Much growth is required to break up the dream, the illusion, to crumple the barriers behind which we have withdrawn in defense and isolation. Mrs. Eddy saw that the salve for loneliness and fear is learning to love. Teaching a student to heal. As a child in the newly discovered world of spirit, Mrs. Eddy would spend the rest of her life exploring the way and leading others to see themselves as one with God, having the kingdom of God within their own consciousness. This is the true spiritual marriage to which Mrs. Eddy would refer again and again throughout her writings. Her message was simple. To enter into this union, we need only awaken from the Adam dream that evil and error are real. Her proof was demonstrated by healing. How better to show the unreality of the shackled material body than through healing, right-mindedness? Mary Baker Eddy was a healer first, before she was ever a teacher, author, or founder. Knowing intuitively that all is mind, in the so-called physical realm as well as in the spiritual realm, Mrs. Eddy healed naturally, as Jesus had healed. The big question was, how could she teach others to heal as she did? At the beginning, she was so eager to have a student learn the healing art that, quote, "When my second student went into practice," she later wrote a friend, "I did the healing for him, sitting in a cold, gloomy anteroom while he was in the front office as the physician. I did this because my first student, Hiram Crafts, stopped his practice the first year, so great was the persecution. To get a student started, I had to do the work at first and not be seen doing it. I was pleased with the out-of-sight labor, liked it much better than to be in front. At one time in Lynn, I had something like 100 cases, but a student was perceptibly the practitioner." Unquote. Clearly, Mrs. Eddy was not consciously aiming for recognition or success. She was simply doing what she loved and believed in. Consequently, success came naturally to her. She would never stop healing. The healing demonstration would always continue to permeate her roles as teacher, author, and founder of Christian Science. The love Mary Baker Eddy expressed. In his day, Jesus was condemned by witnesses. But today we believe only what his friends and disciples, who were in a position to know him, said about him. After Mrs. Eddy fulfilled scriptural prophecy and brought forth the little book, in accordance with Revelation 12:1-5, she too was maligned, persecuted, scorned, and condemned. The minds of the people were so poisoned against her that in the early days even patients, whom she had raised from the dead, did not speak to her when she met them on the street. So fearful were they of church authorities. Persecution and scorn followed her to the end of her sojourn with us. But Mrs. Eddy was supremely content in the self-knowledge that no matter what others might think, she was delivering her message to the world. She was sharing a vision of ultimate reality. The glorious state of mind in which she lived included all goodness, all reality. Being perfectly satisfying, it made lesser possessions, aims, or desires appear paltry and poor. The testimony that her students and friends bear of her is beautiful, radiant with gratitude and admiration for her loving, unselfish, Christ-like life and teachings, which reformed the sinner, gave hope to the weary, and brought instantaneous healing and comfort to untold millions in her day, and for 40 years following, until, through disobedience to her manual directives, the healing waned. It was with her mind that was love itself that Mary Baker Eddy discovered and revealed the science that reveals. When Jesus prophesied, "The Comforter, or Spirit of Truth, He was foretelling Mary Baker Eddy's great discovery, namely that the truth he had exemplified in his own life would come as a universal divine science that all could learn and demonstrate if they accepted and practiced its revelation as the true nature of being. You are there. In Christ's church, the structure of truth and love in our consciousness, the mind of man, the only ego, destroys the belief that man can ever be separated from complete understanding. The hypnotic suggestion that we have to struggle to reach heaven is an error in premise, like the one that caused the detour of those wonderful characters, Moses and Paul. Moses thought he had to make a long mental wilderness journey to reach the promised land. St. Paul looked at it as a race to be run. In contrast, Christian Science teaches that when a demonstration occurs, it shows we have become aware of the harmony that already exists. When a man, suffering from jaundice, stepped up to Mrs. Eddy's carriage and asked her, "What is God?" Mrs. Eddy answered, "God is your mind." As she talked with him, the jaundiced condition disappeared. This is from Spencer, The Overwhelming Evidence. Calvin Fry's diary records that when Mrs. Eddy was sad, struggling to find her way, a voice told her, quote, "You don't need to struggle, but simply to awaken and see you are there," unquote. It is only our ignorance of God that waits for perfection. Mrs. Eddy used her healing demonstration to lead us to understand the power of our mind to heal and to understand our oneness with God. She could heal instantaneously because she had seen that thought externalizes itself, that the body itself is externalized thought. Jesus at the Ascension rose not above a physical body, but above a material sense of body, showing that in reality his body was thought and not matter. Our ascension also is to rise above a material sense of body. The one infinite mind, our real Christ mind, sees and understands all. But because we are ignorant of what we are as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, we believe the carnal mind's lies that we are separate from infinite good, and that we have to wait and work up to perfection. Like Eve, we listen to the serpent and believe that both good and evil are real, but we are mistaken. All we have to do is to stop believing a lie, and we are through with it. It is the carnal mind, mortal mind, that keeps us in purgatory when we have the right to be in paradise. In both the life of Christ Jesus and the teaching of Mary Baker Eddy, there was a common element intolerable to the carnal, mortal mind. Because Jesus and Mrs. Eddy translated matter into mind, they were able to behold in science the perfect man, who appeared to them where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. "The more I understand true humanhood," Mrs. Eddy said, "the more I see it to be sinless, as ignorant of sin as is the perfect maker." As we follow in her footsteps, we too will be able to put aside the carnal, the mortal seeming, and see as mind. The kingdom of God is within you. We learn in Christian Science that God is our mind. That is what St. Paul meant when he urged you to let that mind be mind to you, which was also mind to Christ Jesus. The only Christ there ever was or will be is the true knowledge of God, of your God being as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, which you are, as Mrs. Eddy tells us in the first edition of Science and Health. Mrs. Eddy cautioned her students never to refer to her as Christ. Christ, she said, is the invisible and never corporeal. Jesus was a man corporeal. Christ was, is, and forever will be the Holy Ghost, or spiritual idea of God, of your own real mind. I am corporeal to the senses, even as St. Paul was. But God has anointed me to do His work, to reveal His word, to lead His people. Jesus was the man that was the prophet, and the best and greatest man that has ever appeared on earth. But Jesus was not Christ, for Christ is the spiritual individual that the eye cannot see. Quote, Jesus was called Christ only in the sense that you say, a God-like man. I am only a God-like woman, God-anointed, and I have done a work that no others could do. As Paul was not understood, and Jesus was not understood at the time they taught and demonstrated, so I am not. As following them and obeying them blessed all who did that, so obeying me and following faithfully blesses all who do this. That's from the Carpenter Foundation. Desire to do this activates thought rightly and is true prayer. Faith is not what someone has. Faith is what someone does. Faith, doing, is the substance of things hoped for. Prayer is not something we say. It is something we do and are, as we follow in the grooves laid down by Christ Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy. Our sublime prayer throughout our hallowed journey will be the prayer Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory I had with Thee before the world was, before this hypnotism, this belief of living in a matter body, overtook me. Chapter 2. The Long Road to Realization. The Image of Mind. From Scripture, we learn that the infinite good we call God created man in its own image and likeness. What is this image that God made in His likeness? Since God is mind, the image of God must be the image of mind. Of whose mind? It has to be the image of your real mind, of the kingdom of God within you. In the first edition of Science and Health on page 11, Mrs. Eddy says, quote, mind is universal, the first and only cause of all that really is, unquote. Your real mind is cause. Isn't it true that cause must have an effect? The visible effect that mind, your real mind, produces is the image or manifestation of your mind. What is this visible manifestation of your mind? It is man. We are told that mind has an embodiment called man, which possesses no life, intelligence, nor creative power of his own. Man is shadow, reflection, which has no separate mind from God, your mind. This visible manifestation must be body. Can you move your body, your arm, hand, or foot without mind? Can the body do anything of itself? When you are unconscious in sleep, can the body do anything? No, it has no life, intelligence, nor creative power of its own. What could this shadow, this embodiment that possesses no life, intelligence, nor creative power of its own, be but your body when correctly seen? Man is the expression, image, manifestation of mind.